It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's the 19th of July. May God bless each one of you. We're glad to be with you on this Wednesday. Wednesday is our day of fasting and prayer. We invite you to do some fasting today in some way, whether that's just eating a little less, skipping a meal, letting God lead you. Pray more. That's important as well. We thank God for each of you, and we love you very much. So let us know how we can be of help in the name of Jesus. So at this point, we will take it to the the Lord will hear our prayer as my wife undreamed of takes us to the throne of grace.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day of creation, this time to be, to come together, to open up your word. Now we pray for your spirit to teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. As always, please help us to continue to grow in grace and wisdom. This is asked and prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about
our topic is why doing the right thing seems to backfire. Why doing the right thing sometimes seems to backfire. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the day you've given to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We ask you to bless us as we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we have some mistaken idea that the Christian life is going to be easy. Now, Jesus did say that in Proverbs 13:15, the way of transgressors is hard. The Bible says in Isaiah 48, I think, verse 10, but it says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. And Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, friends, it is harder to walk with Satan than it is to walk with God. And if you don't have complete peace, if you are troubled, you need to surrender. I'll say it again. If you are not at complete peace about something, you need to surrender. You see, the Bible teaches there's a Holy Spirit, and he's working on our hearts, and he's moving us and convicting us. And it's a process. Just keep growing, keep going, but say yes to the Lord, and he will give you the peace that you need. All right, so why is it? What happens? What do? Sometimes we do the right thing, and life gets worse for us because we start doing the right thing. Well, we need to make sure we're doing the right thing. Now, you might have just improved one thing, or maybe you just started paying your tithe or whatever, but you're not really committing your life to God. You're not using the money the way the Lord would have you to use it. You're not doing all that could be done that he's given you to do. Maybe there's some areas in your life where you know that God is not pleased and you are not doing the right thing. A lot of times, brothers and sisters, we need to do what David did. David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. David asked God to search him. That's what we need to do. Lord, search me. Lord, if I'm wrong, please show me. You know, God will answer a prayer like that because he always answers prayers, but that will always be in the affirmative, because when you're trying to get your character right, the answer is always yes. Now, when you want a Lamborghini, it's not always yes. But God, he always answers our prayers, but it's not always in the affirmative. But when you want a Christ-like character, it is always in the affirmative, my brothers and sisters. We're reading Exodus 5, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Now, I want to pause here. This is very interesting. He said, I don't know who he is. I'm not going to let him go. You know, that's really two questions that we need to answer and deal with. Who is the Lord? You see, the Lord wanted the answer of who he was by his people reflecting his character. And sometimes we are so quick to tell people about this, about that, about what day is the Sabbath, about what we're supposed to be doing here, what we're supposed to be doing there. And if they were to say, who is the Lord, could they look at my life to be able to say, oh, he must be like this because you're supposed to be like him? You see, the Bible teaches that if we know him, we're supposed to be like him, okay? We are to be, he is our example, and we are to be like Jesus, okay? So people, if you go back and you study the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, When Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth man, it says, and the fourth man is like the Son of God. How did he know what the Son of God was like? Because the three Hebrew boys were like him, you see? And so, my brothers and sisters, it is what we take to heaven is our character. And we have to be like Jesus. So if you find, brothers and sisters, that you're not always honest, if you find that you're not always tidy, if you find that you're not always happy, you know, if you find that you yell and scream and curse when nobody else is looking at somebody, maybe even in your own home, friends, God is trying to burn all that evil, selfishness. Maybe you have selfishness regarding to money. You know, a lot of times when somebody passes away, oh boy, the true nature of the people come out. And money that maybe was left behind, and resources and assets that were left behind show the true character of the people. And the bottom line is that children, grandchildren, uncles, aunts, whatever, nieces, nephews, they start fighting over the money and the assets. I'm here to tell you that who is God? Well, he should be like you. You should be like him, and that I should serve him. Now, he didn't know Moses. He didn't know that Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And that's who God is, meek and lowly in heart. Okay? And because Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So, my friends, we are to represent Jesus. But the world doesn't do what God said because they don't know who he is. Now, they don't know who he is because many of them don't want to know. You see, if I want to push the LGBT agenda, I don't want to know who God is. Now, I might claim to be a Christian. I might even twist the scriptures. But I don't really want to know who God is, because if I know who God is, I would know that he didn't make a mistake. He had there are 500,000 sperm approximately that are in the ejaculate, and they are competing to penetrate one egg that is produced, generally speaking, from the woman every month. It's 500 million. Did I say 500,000? 500 million sperm are in the ejaculate that is penetrating, that is competing for the penetration of that egg. Only one of those sperm will get in, and then there's a chemical reaction that takes place on the surface of the egg, and it prevents all of the sperm from penetrating. If you are here today listening to this message, you could have been approximately 500 million other people, because each sperm represents a different person, okay? Therefore, my brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you, God, don't think you're a mistake, because God had 500 million other opportunities to make you somebody else just in that ejaculate, okay? And that's not the first time, and generally speaking, that your mother and your father got together, okay? So my point being made, and then guess what? We can assume that if there's 500 million sperm, that half of them would have an X chromosome, which means when one of those penetrates the egg with the mother's egg with an X chromosome, it'll be a female. And half of them, that's 250 million, would have a Y chromosome, and when that Y penetrates the X, it becomes a male. So, my brothers and sisters, God had 250 million opportunities to make you a girl if he made you a boy. And he had 250 million opportunities to make you a boy if he made you a girl. If he made you a boy, then you accept that by faith that's what you are. But if you don't know him, you see, you don't even know who he is. So, brothers and sisters, when we know Christ, that's why it says in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. When we are disobedient, it has to do with our knowledge of God's character. We lack understanding who he is. That's why we're not willing to change, to do what he does, to be like him, brothers and sisters. And so, who is he that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with sword. Now, he knew that, God knew that Pharaoh would not let them go forever. So Moses just said, let us go 3 days' journey. But God knew everything that was going to happen. He knew how Pharaoh was going to not let them go and eventually let them go and come after them to take them back. So, yes, this was indeed a deliverance, okay? But it seems to backfire. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go sacrifice unto our God. Let there be more work laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get ye straw where ye may find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily task. And when there was as when there was straw, and the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore ye have not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants, and they say to us, make brick. And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people. But he said, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. See, he put it on Moses and Aaron. It's because those men, Moses and Aaron, came unto us. See, he's trying to turn them against Moses and Aaron. See, brothers and sisters, that's important, because sometimes when things backfire, the devil is trying to create internal strife. We need to be really prayerful that we don't allow any internal strife to come in among us, brothers and sisters. That's what the devil wants to do. So when somebody is called by God to say, hey, let my people go, then the devil will try to cause the people to turn against that person, that leader, because things will seem to get worse for the people. When you step out in faith and you do something, don't expect everything immediately to be right. Now, sometimes it is, because God knows we're of weak faith, but the point being made is God's going to deliver, but he wants his people to persevere, and he wants his people to get along. You see, God is really, really, it's important to God that we get along, brothers and sisters, so let's stop fighting each other, okay? Love on each other, brothers and sisters. Stop being selfish and critical, and just focus on loving one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, John 13:35. That you keep the Sabbath? No. That you know the state of the dead? No. That you know how to eat? No. That you know how to dress? No. It says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if you have love one toward another. Now, that doesn't mean that God does not have standards and rules and health messages and commandments, but what God is saying is, the world knows that we're of God by how we treat each other, okay? So if you know you're prone to fight and fuss, you're not representing God, brothers and sisters, so you might want to take a break from trying to convert people and make sure your heart is right with God. That's what we're talking about. The heart has to be right with God. But he said, you are idle, therefore you say, let us go and do sacrifice unto the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet you shall deliver the tale of bricks. That means the amount of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case. That means that they were in trouble. After it was said, you shall not diminish aught of your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. Now, here's a beautiful lesson. So here they come to Moses and say, man, you made life worse for us. Now, Moses was called by God to go let people go and to go into Pharaoh. And the first thing that happens is Pharaoh makes the people start thinking twice about being with Moses. And Moses teaches us a lesson. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? When you get in trouble, go to God. You might not even understand, but go to God, my friend. Sometimes we're so quick to answer somebody, we think we have to give somebody an answer when they complain. Okay, thank you for the complaint. Let me go to God about that. Let me talk to God about that, friend. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. We're in chapter 6, brothers and sisters. This is Exodus chapter 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. You see, brothers and sisters, God is a God of creation. He can take nothing and create everything out of nothing. So when there is something, even if it's an evil something, that's easy for him. So God has to allow, if we don't have adversity and trials, we would not understand what a powerful God we have. So he does allow some negative things to come our way that we might see who he is, my brothers and sisters. It says, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand he shall drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I also heard the groanings of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians kept in bondage or keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out of the land. Bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, and swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. Now, when Moses went back to comfort the children of Israel, they didn't want to hear it. That did not deter, because when God calls you to do something, he didn't tell you everybody's going to see what God calls you to do. He didn't say everybody's going to accept what God has called you to do. You have to do what God calls you to do, my brothers and sisters. You see, the Bible that we read from, my friends, is a book of prophecy. It is a book that gives commandments. It is a book that gives doctrines. But it is a book that gives practical godliness, my friends. We need to know how to walk this walk and talk this talk. We need to know how to live a life of faith. We need to know what to do when some adversity comes, because we so quickly run from it. We have no strength because we have no faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you're on your own time, brothers and sisters, we need to be more in the word of God, my friends. We like to watch this and listen to that and all that, and these things don't generally bring faith. And they're not faith building. Spend time in God's word, my brothers and sisters. We need to be happy people, and people who will be ready for heaven. What will we be doing when we go to heaven, friends? Let's start doing it now. That's what God is trying to help us to do. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These be the heads of their fathers' houses, the house of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Hanok, and Palu, Hezron, and Carmi. These be the families of Reuben, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, and Jamin, and Ohad, and Jachin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the son of the Canaanitish woman. These are the families of Simeon, and these are the names of the sons of Levi, according to their generations, Gershon, and Kohath, and Merari. And the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. The son of Gershon, Libni, and Shimei, according to their families, and the sons of Kohath, Amram, and Izhar, and Hebron, and Uziel. And the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. And the sons of Merari, and Mahali, and Mushi. These are the families of the of Levi according to their generations. And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. And the son of Izhar, Kohath, and Nepheg, and Zikri, the son of Uziel, Mishael, and Elzaphan, and Zithri. And Aaron took him Elisheba, daughter of Aminadab, sister of Nahashon, to wife, and she bare him Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And the sons of Korah, Isar, and Elkanah, and Abiasaph. These are the families of the Korahites. And Eleazar, Aaron's son, took him one of the daughters of Putiel to wife, and she bare him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites according to their families. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? You see, brothers and sisters, we sometimes can't see the end from the beginning, and Moses wasn't quite there yet. He wasn't disobedient, but he was questioning God's wisdom in choosing him. And friends, that's all right. God is going to teach Moses some things. God's going to teach the children of Israel some things. And God is going to teach Pharaoh and the Egyptians some things. But the point is, what is God teaching you? Friends, now you have been called to do the right thing. And everything's not always going right for you. Things aren't happening as fast as you want them to happen. The problem that you're in is not going away immediately. Oh, hang in there. We're going to see God do the deliverance. And God is trying to teach us, brothers and sisters, that we are to persevere. We are to know who he is, reflect him in character. God has allowed these things that are going to happen, that are happening in your life. He has allowed them for a reason. And they're just for a season. And he is wanting to make you a better person, a servant of the Most High, so you can go out and teach and preach and do and share. Even as women, even as brothers and sisters, you don't have to be a preacher to teach and preach, brothers and sisters. That's what the world doesn't want you to do. The world doesn't want you to be a representative. You are an ambassador for the Most High God. We have to let the people know that there's a warning. You see, that's what's important. There is a warning. The mark of the beast and the call to come out of Babylon, which we have not studied yet, is a call for the people of God. And those who come out of Babylon will be the ones that God can use. My friends, this world is messed up, but there is a God in heaven, and he is still in control of the affairs of this life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the love you have for us. Be with us and help us to not give up, but to persevere, know you better, to represent you aright. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be back in a little while, brothers and sisters. It's time now for our wellness segment of the broadcast. We start that transition with the torso song. We'll hear from Sister Lenny today for our health message entitled I believe it's the Workers' Health. Let me just verify the exact title. The Workers' Health. Yes, yes. All right, friends, enjoy.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to torso. Of the Mason-Dixon line, if your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free, and if you want to know, you must come. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with you can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Your health. babies at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. And now we'll hear from Sister Lenny, entitled, with a message entitled, The Worker's Health.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. The Worker's Health. We belong to God. Our bodies belong to God. He paid the price of redemption for the body as well as for the soul. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. The Creator watches over the human machinery, keeping it in motion. Were it not for his constant care, the pulse would not beat, the action of the heart would cease, the brain would no longer act its part. The brain is the organ and instrument of the mind and controls the whole body. In order for the other parts of the system to be healthy, the brain must be healthy as well. And in order for the brain to be healthy, the blood must be pure. If by correct habits of eating and drinking the blood is kept pure, the brain will be properly nourished. It is the lack of harmonious action in the human organism that brings disease. The imagination may control the other parts of the body to their injury. All parts of the system may work harmoniously. The different parts of the body, especially those remote from the heart, should receive a free circulation of blood. The limbs act as an important part and should receive proper attention. God is the great caretaker of the human machinery. In the care of our bodies, we must cooperate with Him. Love for God is essential for life and health. In order to have perfect health, our hearts must be filled with love and hope and joy. I wish to impress upon the minds of physicians the fact that they cannot do as they please with their thoughts and imaginations, and at the same time be safe in their calling. Satan is the destroyer. Christ is the restorer. I desire our physicians to fully comprehend this point. They may save souls from death by a right application of the knowledge they have gained, or they may work against the great master builder. They may cooperate with God, or they may counterwork his plans by failing to work harmoniously with him. This morning's health segment is coming from Medical Missionary, Section 16, page 291. Thank you so much. May you be blessed today and always know that we belong to God and He cares about our health. God bless you.
Yes, God bless you. Thank you very much. Okay, my brothers and sisters, we have on the call, we're doing our roll call at this time. We have Georgia represented. We have North Carolina represented. We have, that's all I see. And to my dear sister, maybe you, can you send me a text from North Carolina, please? That's just going to work out better for me. She sent a message, several messages. Please, if you could text me, I appreciate that. All right, on the call, roll call is as follows. We have we have Ohio and Ohio. We have Maryland. We have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania. We have Delaware. And one of my sisters in Delaware, you'll be hearing from me today. And then we have New Jersey. We have Iowa. And we have Georgia. Press star 6. If you have anything you'd like to share, we've got about 17 minutes to the top of the hour. We'd love to hear from you. Please. Anyone that has anything you'd like to share. Oh, excuse me. All right. Well, this is our day of fasting and prayer, friends. We enjoy fasting and praying to the Lord, getting closer to Him, and we recommend that you do some fasting in some way. Let God lead you in some way. What we often do, my wife and I, sometimes we'll skip a meal or we'll eat less, or sometimes we'll skip, we could skip the whole day in eating. So we'll let the Lord lead in that. But we encourage you, fasting and prayer, taking time to pray and build up your strength, to take more time in prayer, that the Lord might give you the strength that you need. Just walking with Him, talking with Him. Our message today was about how we need to have a closer walk with the Lord, because the devil is busy and he will try to throw roadblocks. Sometimes when we do the right thing, it seems to backfire, but God is there and He will deliver. All right, there's no one in the queue. I would like to encourage you all to be faithful, and my wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. Now we ask that your spirit will continue to be with us throughout this day as you lead, guide, direct, and instruct. And Father, we pray that we'll be faithful to you and help us to be able to be of service to others in your harvest. And we pray, Lord, that we would do all we can to be able to receive that crown of life. Help us, Lord, is our prayer. For in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen. Our closing song is It's About Time. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship. Jesus.